The Bible tells us over and over things like, fear not, be not dismayed, trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding.
On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter reassures that the promises of Scripture are much more than simple one-liners.
Well, Brett, my situation's really bad. But if you really trust the Lord and know who the Lord is, we really have no reason to fear that He's going to work it out. We might have difficult times, we might go through trying times, but the Lord is still going to work those things out.
First John chapter 4 reminds us of this promise of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And on today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter acknowledges, though evil is real, the Christian doesn't have to be given over to the spirit of fear. Coming up, comfort and encouragement drawn from the Old Testament for dealing with the troubles that come our way. And I want to welcome you to today's Word. Our teacher is the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church near Portland, Oregon, Brett Metter. Pastor Brett, thanks for joining me.
Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Brett, we've been going through the Gospel of John here on today's Word, but we want to take a short break and jump into a series that I think folks are really going to appreciate, and that's a study we're calling Words of Encouragement.
Boy, that sounds like a good thing to do in these days. I feel like people really could use a boost of encouragement. I think that's really one of the role of the Church of Jesus Christ that we've been given. You know, I love 1 Thessalonians 5:11, where it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And I think that if we can use this radio broadcast to encourage those who are going through times of anxiety or even fear or difficulty, this is hopefully a boost for our brothers and sisters throughout the country.
Well, I agree. Thank you, Brett. And we're excited, friend, that you're joining us for today's Word and hope you can set aside time to listen each day. All right, let's get started in this Words of Encouragement series with a message called Fear Not. Here again is our teacher, Pastor Brett Metter.
The question is, does God ever want us to be anxious or freaked out or troubled to where we're depressed or whatever? Is that God's will? Let me ask it clearly. Does God want us to be anxious? No. And we can know that for sure because the Bible says be anxious for nothing or worried about nothing. Well, Brett, that's easier said than done. In the world that we live in, the trouble that we see, how can we not be anxious or worried? Well, I believe the Bible gives us the tools. Check it out. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's take a look. It says here in verse 8, Paul the Apostle talking to the church at Corinth. There in 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is a great word from the Apostle Paul. Now, before you say, well, what does Paul know about trouble? Well, if you don't know your Bible very well, that's okay. But let me just tell you this. Your worst day in your life was probably Paul's best day of his life. Let's just say that. He was always, you know, thrown in prison and whipped and beaten and bloodied and brutalized and left for dead under a pile of rocks. I mean, that was a typical day of ministry for Paul the Apostle. Shipwrecked, left in the ocean, washed up on the beach, bitten by vipers. And, you know, like the guy had a tough way to go. And yet he says, man, we troubled on every side, but it says, yet not distressed, perplexed. In other words, we don't know what to do, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. For the believer, the one who believes in God and the power of God and the work of his son, Jesus Christ, the Christian, we can know that there's always a but not in our perplexions or problems or troubles or difficulties. We can say there's always a but not for the Christian. Why? Because the Lord, he's got a purpose and a plan, and it doesn't mean that things are going to be perfect or rosy for you. But the Bible does promise that the Lord's going to work everything out according to his plan and purpose, and it's going to ultimately be for good in the bigger picture of things. When it's all said and done, you'll say, man, the Lord knew exactly what he was doing, and it worked out better than we could have ever imagined. Thanks and praise be to the Lord. That's what we'll all say. In fact, when we all stand before the Lord, we'll all say, righteous and true were his judgments. The judgments that he made, the call that he made on your life. The Lord knows what he's doing. It's all going to work out. So we might be in trouble on every side, but not distressed. Well, turn the page to the right, maybe a 16th of an inch, depending on how big the font is in your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 6, that classic scripture that deals with, you know, the armor of God, and this is an important part of the discussion today. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And then, of course, he goes on and talks about the armor specifically. We've done studies on the armor of God. That's super important as a Christian to be, you know, armored properly, because we are in a battle, but it's not a battle, it says here, against flesh and blood. And this is where, as Christians, if we could get this, if we could grasp the truth behind what Paul is saying here, you and I, if we really believe that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, that would change everything. What do you mean, Brett? Well, what about husbands and wives? Let's just start there. When you and your wife or husband get into a big argument, if you really got it or understood, you're not wrestling against her or against him. But actually, if you believe the Bible, we as Christians wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's dastardly evil. Now, let me just say this, go on record. Satan, the devil, he's not just some notion of evil that's floating out there in space. Satan is a being that the Bible talks about. And he is evil, and he has a plan to mess people up. Now, here's the thing you also have to remember. Don't give Satan too much credit. Satan has very giant limitations. People try to ascribe the same attributes God has to Satan. What do you mean? Well, let me ask you, is Satan, for example, omnipresent? What that means is God is able to be anywhere and everywhere all at once because he's infinite. There's nothing in him that holds him back from giving you his undivided attention. Can Satan do that? No, he's limited to time and space in that way. And people come, "Pastor Brad, I think I'm being attacked by Satan." And oftentimes I like to say, probably not. He's only one being. And he does have, you know, fallen angels and demons and stuff that he deploys, I think, according to the scriptures. So there's that. But I doubt, unless you're, you know, really being mightily used, Satan's probably not even messing with you. But evil could be, in fact. When you realize that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against evil power, Satan and his, you know, demons or whatever, it starts to take the pressure off of you as a husband and wife, for example. Wise is the man, wise is the woman that realizes, man, when we're not getting along, when things aren't right, Satan and his demons want to mess us up. And the battle is not between you and her or you and him. The battle is spiritual. And so, man, you have to handle it that way, through prayer, through the word, through godly counsel, instead of trying to, you know, win the battle of flesh and blood. And because of that, there's a lot of marriages that are kind of bloodied with people just being mean to each other and not forgiving and not realizing you're fighting the wrong battle. And that goes on and on. I think the enemy is constantly trying to cause trouble. Now, there's a problem, because some Christians start to realize, wow, there really is a spiritual battle. And when you start to open your eyes and see, wow, this isn't flesh and blood, then we swing the other way as Christians, become what I call heebie-jeebie Christians. Who are they? Well, they're the ones that see demons everywhere. They may not be demon possessed, but they're demon obsessed. Man, you got the demon, gonna get you. You got the demon of backache, woo. You know, you need to come out of him. Start doing all this stuff, you know, spinning heads, green vomit. That's the kind of thing they're into. But I don't believe that's the heart of the Lord either. And I'll tell you why. Because if we walk around acting all weirded out about evil and demons and Satan, we're missing the next level, and that is, well, flip over to another passage real quick. This is found there in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, John's talking about spirits and evil and stuff like that. It says in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits," or test, prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many are false prophets and are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now already in the world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a great promise of God's word. So when it comes to spirits and demons and evil and stuff like that, do we have to run around all freaked out? No. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, this is a key. First, you got to make sure Jesus is in you, that you're in Christ, that he's in you. How does that happen? You become a Christian. For the Christian who has Christ, greater is he that is in you. So you don't have to freak out or be heebie-jeebied out. Now, if you're not a Christian and you don't have Christ and you're not a saved, you know, regenerated Christian, then yeah, evil is something to be concerned about. And the power of evil is strong. But as a Christian, we don't have to freak out. And that's why we don't have to be given over to a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. That's what the scriptures teach. And so we got to tuck that away. Lord, open our eyes to help us to see that you are in control, that you've got our backs, you're watching us, so we don't have to be afraid. Like, these are the things that the Bible teaches of how we can deal with the troubles that come our way and the things that sort of, you know, freak us out or cause us to be greatly fearful. And that brings us to now 2 Kings, where we see all of this illustrated in a really cool story. Would you turn back there to 2 Kings chapter 6? In 2 Kings chapter 6, we see the king of Syria, the enemy of Israel, starting to stir up all kinds of trouble. Not unusual, but the Syrians at this time were much greater than the Israeli army during this time period, and they were scary. They had all kinds of horses and chariots and, you know, a giant army, and so the Israelis really feared them. But the Israelis had an ace in the hole. That was the little bald prophet. We know he was bald because, remember the people that made fun of him? Go up, thou bald man, they said, making fun of his head. And he said, you know, you guys are cursed for saying that. And then she-bears came out of the woods and ate up the people. Remember the story? It's a great story. Great for your kids, bedtime story, bears eating up children. So here's this little bald prophet, and this is the ace in the hole. Let's see how that works out. It says here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God, and that's Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. What's this? This is basically awesome intelligence. You know, they've got this secret operative, and he doesn't even have to do a double agent thing. It's just the Lord tells Elisha, hey, the Syrians are going to go move their army over here, so stay away from over there. Or if the Syrians are going to come and attack you over here, the Lord would give Elisha a heads up and say, move your army away from there. And so the Syrians would come and, where are they? And so this is a great thing. By the way, the Israelis have always been kind of incredible on the Mossad and their intelligence and stuff. It's kind of incredible. It was Elisha the prophet basically given all the intel that the Jews needed for the Israelis to be safe from the giant Syrian army. Well, it's interesting because it goes on, verse 9, the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place. And the king of Israel, verse 10, sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Now, the original Hebrew says the Lord did this revealing of the secrets of the Syrians over and over again. Again and again and again it happened, is the idea. Some of your newer translations, I think, even put it that way. This happened again and again. So do you think this made the king of Syria a little bit bummed? You know, every move he makes, the Israelis are way, several steps ahead. Well, it says, therefore, verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled about this thing. So he called his servants and he said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, we got a traitor here. You know, there's a leak problem here in my administration, and we got to figure out who's leaking information. But the Syrian didn't realize what was really going on. Well, It goes on, verse 12, it says, one of his servants said, Elisha, the prophet, O king, that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. That's the most private place for the king, is his bedchamber. And basically everything you think or say that you're in your own bed, Elisha the prophet knows. So now pause for a second here. If this is true and you're the king of Syria and God is revealing what's going on in your brain to the enemy army, what do you do at this point? What's your tactic? If you're wise, you probably think, man, God's got my number. There's nothing I can do. God knows what I'm going to do, and there's no way to, how do you defeat this? But one thing I want to point out is human nature. When God's got your number, and some of you have probably reached that place in life where God had your number, and you were trying to sin it up and go against God's plan and his purpose in your life, and God had your number, and you knew you were busted, but some of you, instead of repenting and doing the right thing, what did you do? You fought against God even harder. Have you ever noticed that part of our human nature? When you know you're wrong, when you know you're sinning it up, it's amazing how we still want to be so stubborn and push harder against God. Well, that's what this king's going to do. God's got his number. He knows exactly what he's doing. And so what does the king do? Look at verse 13. So the king of Syria, he said, go and spy where he, this man of God, Elisha, is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Now, if you've been studying the story through 1 and 2 Kings, is it a good idea to go and apprehend one of these prophets of God? Remember Elijah, who was sitting on the top of this little hill? I picture him sitting there in Indian style up at the top of this little round mountain. And the king said, bring Elijah to me. And so they set up 50 soldiers, armed to the teeth. And they said, hey, man of God, the king wants you. Come with us. And remember what Elijah said? If I be a man of God, then send fire down from heaven. And fire came from heaven and consumed those 50 dudes, killed them. The king said, what? They're all dead? Send 50 more. And so 50 more guys and a commanding officer came up. He said, man of God, come with us. And he said, if I be a man of God. Second barbecue right there, fire from heaven. Man. The third group of soldiers that the king set up, finally, if you remember, the commander of the army said, please don't kill us. Come with us and talk to the king. And the Lord said, okay, Elijah, go with that guy and you can go talk to the king now. You don't mess with these prophets. So this king of Syria is ill-informed or just really stubborn. God's got his number, but instead of repenting and going home to Syria and just leaving the Jews alone, he's going to pursue this prophet. Bad idea. And so, verse 14 goes on, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? That's just King James of saying, whoa, Nelly, what in the world are we going to do? That's what he says. The servant of the prophet, Elisha, is freaked, totally freaked out. What are we going to do? Now, the problem is, Christian brothers and sisters, oftentimes this is where we leave it. This is where we leave ourselves, in this place of, what are we going to do? And we're freaked out and our blood pressure's up and we're looking at the situation and thinking, man, we're outnumbered and we're going to go down. There's a whole Syrian armies surrounding us. What are we going to do? And that's what some of you do when you hear the news and see what's going on around you and locally and in your own life, the troubles and whatever it is that's causing fear and frustration. We just leave it there. What are we going to do? But like I said earlier, the Lord doesn't want us to live there in fear and anxiety and worry and fretting. The Lord wants us to put our trust in him. And that takes some spiritual discipline to a degree. And we're going to see Elisha help this freaked out servant and try to give him some great things. In fact, three things I'd like you to take notice. First of all, if you're jotting it down, number one, as we look at this, we're going to see Elisha speak to this servant and give him a word of exhortation. That's the first thing, a word of exhortation. And what is that word? It's in verse 16. So Elisha answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. There's the word of exhortation. Hey, servant who's freaked out, This is a good word for all of us today who are freaked out by the news or by what's going on in our lives that's freaking us out. Fear not. Now, I have to say this because we're a culture of people that we're tired of being told the simple answers. It's funny how we don't want to just hear people say, you know, just pull yourselves up by your bootstraps. Stop being afraid. And we're the society that basically says it's not that simple. Brett, don't you understand that we need to go into a deeper, you know, understanding and dive into the psychology of it all or figure out why we're feeling afraid and all these things? And I understand there is some legitimacy to those disciplines, but I'm saying that the Bible tells us over and over things like fear not, be not dismayed, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Like the Bible gives us these simple one-liners, but sad to say our culture, and especially the Christian culture, we sort of say, well, that's just ridiculous. Just trust Jesus. I always kind of crack up when I hear people say, well, if you go to Athey Creek and get counsel, they're going to tell you to just read your Bible and pray. Is that what you tell them, Pastor Brett? I say boldly and loud and proud, yes. Read your Bible. And, well, it's not that simple. Yes, it is. It is that simple. Because the Lord is the one who will fight for you. The Lord is the one who says, cast your cares upon me. He says, be anxious for nothing, as I told you earlier, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says, the peace of God, which passes understanding, will, you know, rule your hearts and minds. Like, this is the notions of the Bible. So when people say, that's just too simple, it doesn't work that way, then you're saying God is a liar. That you can't just say, fear not. Well, Brett, my situation's really bad. But if you really trust the Lord and know who the Lord is, we really have no reason to fear that he's going to work it out. We might have difficult times, we might go through trying times, but the Lord is still going to work those things out.
Pastor Brett Metter with a comforting reminder that we're to be anxious for nothing and let the peace of God rule our hearts and minds. And you're listening to Today's Word. In just a moment, Pastor Brett will be back to join me in the studio. But first, our teacher, Brett Metter, is a senior pastor of Athey Creek Church just south of Portland in West Lynn, Oregon. Brett's been the pastor of Athey Creek Church for almost 30 years, and we'd like to invite you to listen each day for more of Today's Word. If you missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages online at todayswordradio.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by going to todayswordradio.com. Well, I do have Pastor Brett with me now. Brett, for those who don't know your story as pastor of Athey Creek Church, can you go back to 1996 when you first felt God's call to start a church?
Sure, Kurt. That's a fun story. I really have a pretty simple story, and that is I was an assistant pastor of a large church, but always in the back of my mind thinking, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was able to start a church and teach through the Bible? And I kind of waited for that timing of the Lord, and it was 1996 that the Lord really stirred my heart, and my wife and I prayed about where the Lord would send us. And one of the big kickers back in 1996 was when I saw the statistic from the, you know, Gallup polls kind of people that Portland and Seattle were jockeying back and forth for the least church cities in America. And so I thought, man, why not see about starting a church in Portland, Oregon? And so we moved up virtually knowing no one in Portland and brought the kids and the cat and the dog and and just moved up. But, you know, we just decided to start a Bible study. We started with that. And then a few weeks later, we got a middle school where we began teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter through the Bible. And that's really how we formed. It just started with people, word of mouth, no advertising. And we really felt like God made that happen according to his plan and purpose. It wasn't us really doing anything that amazing. It was just, I think the Lord just called us to do it simply. And we just saw really good fruit from that point forward.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that story, Pastor Brett. And I want to remind our listeners that we'll be here each day to go through God's Word, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, as Pastor Brett said. For more information about Pastor Brett and Athey Creek Church, just go to todayswordradio.com. On our website, you can also make a comment or share a prayer request. Again, todayswordradio.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you can be back as we find out how we should respond when we face fearful and troubled times. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.